What's up, Mzanzi? You are listening to the World's Best Podcast presented by One IFRAG Digital Media Awards, Food for Mzanzi's very own Farmers Inside Track podcast. I'm your host, Octavius Pandil. Have you ever worried about your precious livestock munching on something that could make them ill? Well, Dr. Asive Luningo is a guardian angel for farmers everywhere. As a clinical assistant toxicologist at the University of Pretoria's Faculty of Veterinary Science, Dr. Luningo is on the front lines of safeguarding livestock. Dr. Luningo's expertise is a shepherd's crook guiding farmers towards safe pastures and healthier herds. Tune in to hear about the best practices for minimizing handling mistakes, the technological solutions available to farmers, and the potential economic benefits of proper training. Dr. Asive, welcome to Farmers Inside Track.
What are the most common toxic plants that pose a threat to livestock in this region?
Hi, Octavia. Thank you for having me. So plant poisoning in animals is usually accidental and most often occurs under unfavorable conditions, such as drought, field fires, overstocking, and trampling of the grazing areas. So poisonous plants are plants that contain toxic substances that are harmful to animals when ingested or come in contact with the animal. So these plants can cause a range of effects and mortality. So these plants can lead to both direct and indirect consequences. So direct, which include death, reduced milk production, reproductive issues such as abortions, extended gestation period, and indirect losses include control measures like installing fencing, implementing strategic grazing practices, providing supplementary feeding, and covering of the veterinary expenses. So I'll discuss with you all the most important plant poisoning in livestock. Then about 600 indigenous poisonous plants known. So I'll start with the plants that contain cardiac glycosides. Plants like talc, plaquis, poison bush, oleander, and milkweed. There's more. So these plants have the greatest economic impact reported to cause 33% of all mortalities in cattle from plant poisoning and 10% in small stock. So they cause acute and also chronic syndromes. So acute clinical signs will include gastrointestinal tract disorders such as bloat, diarrhea, or constipation, and also cardiovascular signs such as increased heart rate. Also, you get neuromuscular signs like trembling and paralysis, as well as a respiratory distress. So these animals die due to respiratory arrest. So the chronic syndrome is usually referred to as CRIMSIDDE, which includes symptoms like poor condition, head nodding, feet together, back arched back, and the head down. So there is no specific treatment, but you can do like supportive treatment, which is based on the clinical sign. So treatment that include activated charcoal, or anti-arachnidic drugs like lignocaine, atropine, and also providing of the good quality feed. Then the second one that I'll discuss is senesiosis. Senesiosis is caused by Steger's bush. That's a common name. Then the scientific name of these plants is Senecio latifolius and Senecio retrosus. So these plants grow in overgrazed areas or when there is like droughts or after field fires. This plant is also an important hay contaminant, because it remains toxic even when it's dry. So horses are the most acceptable, but cattle and sheep are also very severely affected. So these plants contain what is called pyrrolidinol alkaloid. That's a toxic principle of these plants. So this toxic principle targets the liver. Then you'll see things like loss of appetite, depression, rheumatoid, and arthritis. The chronic syndrome in cattle is usually referred to as multinous training disease, which manifests as a progressive weight loss, weakness, bloody diarrhea, and ataxia. Then in horses, the chronic syndrome is referred to as Danziger or stomach Steger's. So same, there is no specific treatment, also supportive treatment, especially liver support treatment. Then the third one that I'll discuss is the Hrifbla. This one is well known by most of the farmers. It's Hrifbla, so also known as poison leaf. The scientific name, which is Dechapetalum cymosum. So it's found in warm subtropical, usually dry areas. So it causes sudden death in animals after drinking water or exercise. Intoxication occurs commonly in late winter or early spring and also early autumn. All ruminants are susceptible, but poisoning is mainly reported in cattle. So the plant contains monofluoral acetate. So the target organ for this plant is the heart. So the clinical signs include increased heart rate, difficulty breathing, trembling, and also convulsions. Then the poisoning can be managed by keeping these the affected animals calm and rested, and you can move them carefully from camp and keep them away from water for 48 hours. Then the fourth poisoning, it's Hosicter. Hosicter is known as the quick disease. So this one is caused by six plants that belong to Rubiaceae family, which is, just to mention a few, we've got a hairy Hosicter borer, smooth Hosicter bossy, a large leaf, poison bright. So these plants belong to the Rubiaceae family. So Hosicter is characterized by acute heart failure, causing sudden death 6 to 8 weeks after ingestion. So the animals drop dead after being chased or handled. So the clinical signs also include weakness, panting, difficulty breathing, edema of the head. With this one, there is no specific treatment, just supportive treatment. And then it's also important to avoid unnecessary stress when you are dealing with animals that are affected by quick disease. Then the other one is Lantana poisoning. So Lantana poisoning, we've got Lantana camara and Lantana rugosa. So Lantana is grown in gardens and commonly found as a widespread weed in the fields. Lantana is particularly prevalent in high rainfall regions, especially in KwaZulu-Natal and Mpumalanga. So this plant is well distributed because the birds like the fruits and spread the seeds. So cattle is the most affected, but sheep and goats are also susceptible. So these plants contain lantanin, which targets the liver. Then the clinical signs are those of secondary photosensitivity in hairless areas like the muzzle and the perineal area, as well as the unpigmented areas. Then you also see severe icterus, rumen stasis, constipation, or diarrhea. Then the affected animals can be kept in shade, given feed with low chlorophyll or activated charcoal. Then we've got Celtico, caused by devil's thorn, known as the Tribulus terrestris, occurring sporadically in drier parts of the country, Karoo, and southern Free State to Namibia. So toxicity is associated with the wilting of young plants. The species mostly affected are sheep and goat. So the toxin in the plant is known as steroidal saponin. So the clinical signs include swelling of the face, sloughing of the skin, severe icterus, and chorionitis. So what you'll usually see with these animals, they like to stand in the shades, like even the human shades under the bush or the poles. Then the affected animals can be kept in the shade. If then you find that, okay, we've got this intoxication, so you can keep them in the shade and make sure that they are fed with a diet that is low in chlorophyll. And valuable animals, you can apply things like barrier creams, like tattoo ink, and also black shoe polish, because that affects the skin. Then the last one, it's Femia sicta. The condition is usually caused by Femia boss, which is Geigeria onativa, Geigeria aspera, and Geigeria bouquet. So it affects our ruminants, especially sheep and goats. So the toxin from these plants is sesquiterpene lactones. So the clinical signs of intoxication include stiffness, bloat, paralysis, and regurgitation of the ruminal fluid. These animals regurgitate because of the paralysis of the muscle of the esophagus. So the problem with this is that, like, the secondary effect of this regurgitation is the foreign body pneumonia. Then the animals can die due to choking and asphyxiation. So the condition can be managed by moving these animals away from the infested area, and you can provide alternative feed and also treat asymptomatically. So in cases where there is a secondary effect, which is a pneumonia, antimicrobial treatment can be used.
Doc, how can farmers accurately identify these toxic plants in their pastures?
So proper plant identification is crucial and requires recognizing a plant's characteristics such as size, form, leaf shape, flower color, and odor. So locality is also important, as the distribution of these plants varies. So farmers may seek assistance from professionals such as botanists, agricultural personnel, animal technicians, extension officers, and as well as veterinarians. So the digital photos can be sent to these people mentioned above. So advise farmers to join. There are social groups that are available in different areas. They can join those society social groups because there are some people there that are experienced with identifying these plants or have had cases that are aligned with these plants. And also there are reliable sources like guides identifying these plants. So I'll just mention a book. So that is called Poisonous Plants of South Africa by Professor Ben Eric van Wyk. So it's also available. The farmers can buy that book. Then another more detailed book that we use here at the university is Plant Poisoning and Mycotoxins of Livestock in Southern Africa by Professor T.S. Killerman. So this one will need a subscription because it's available on Anapedia. So it is also important for the farmers to regularly inspect the felt for unusual plants, especially after events like felt fires, floods, or during drought period.
You have mentioned some of the online resources, which was one of my next questions. But what I'm also interested to know is, are there any mobile app that can help in identifying toxic plants in the field?
To the best of my knowledge, there isn't any specific one for identifying toxic plants in South Africa. But there are a few general plant identification apps, but I cannot vouch for their accuracy as I have never used them. Then the online resources that have assisted me with identifying these plants include South African National Botanical Institute, which is abbreviated as SANBI, then the Global Biodiversity Information Facility, South Africa, abbreviated as GBIF, and also Plants of the World and the iNaturalist. I've got experience on those, but there are other apps that are available out there for plant identification.
And what are the typical symptoms and signs that livestock have ingested toxic plants?
So poisonous plants can affect our various organ systems. So the primary effect can vary based on the animal factors and plant factors. So the symptoms of poisoning depend on the system that is affected by a particular plant species and the amount ingested. So the plant toxins affect more than one organ system. So I'll just discuss a few signs that you can see when different systems are being affected. So for example, we've got a central nervous system. You'll see things like tremors, hind limb weakness, ataxia, hypersensitivity, depression, seizures, and cycling. Then if the cardiovascular system is affected, you'll see a change in the heart rate, which it can be increased or decreased, and also arrhythmias and difficulty breathing. Then liver, you see clinical signs like ictus or photosensitivity signs. Then if the gastrointestinal tract system is affected, animals become anorexic. They regurgitate. You can see things like diarrhea, constipation, bloat. Then if the respiratory system is affected, you see difficulty breathing, extended neck, froth from the mouth, and cyanosis. Then they die acutely. Then with hemopoietic system, you're going to see that's a weak pulse, decreased in blood pressure, pale mucous membranes, which is known as anemia. Then if the skin is affected, you see things like alopecia, redness, itchiness. Then last, the reproductive system, a urinary tract system. So you can see things like blood urine, increased or decreased urine output, increased water intake, abortions, stillbirth, deformed fetuses, and extended gestation periods. So accurate and early diagnosis will lead us to a proper treatment of the intoxication.
And how quickly do symptoms appear after ingestion? And what is the typical progression of these symptoms?
So the symptoms of our poisoning can be characterized as acute or chronic. Then acute onset refers to rapid appearance of clinical signs or sudden death, which can be like few minutes to hours after ingestion of the toxic plant. Just to give you an example, plants that contain cyanogenic glycosides, such as sorghum, clover, animals die within a few hours after appearance of the clinical sign. Then chronic symptoms develop slowly over an extended period, often weeks to months. For example, horsicta that we've already discussed, animals die suddenly 6 to 8 weeks after ingestion of the plant material.
Doc, what are the long-term health effects on livestock that have ingested toxic plants, even if they survived the initial poisoning?
The long-term effects can vary depending on factors such as dose of the toxin ingested, the duration of exposure, the animal's overall health status. That is very important. Then you get these effects can be development of cancer, which, to give you an example, caused by carcinogenic plant toxins from plants like Brackenfen, causing bladder cancer in sheep and cattle. Then might also have our secondary bacterial infections because of the compromised immune system. Then aspiration pneumonia is one of them in poisons where regurgitation occurs, as we already discussed, FIMSECT. Then a blindness is one of them that can cause, that can affect animals' well-being and behavior, because if they don't see, they normally hurt themselves. Then also paralysis might not be resolved from other plant intoxications, so the animals might stay recumbent, then that will affect their lifespan. And lastly, things like permanent organ damage like kidneys or the liver.
What are the best practices for preventing livestock from coming into contact with toxic plants?
Okay, so this one is a broad one because it depends on the farming system that farmers use. For example, we've got a communal, we've got commercial. So they operate differently. But I'll just discuss what are the possible preventative measures that can be done out there. So grazing management is the first one on the list, which is like things like fencing off the infested fields. You can do things like rotational grazing and also feed supplementation during dry seasons. Hungry animals are less selective. They eat what is available. So during dry seasons, they can do feed supplementation. The third one will be eradication of the plaque. So this one involves different methods. So the first method will be mechanical method, which is pulling or digging up and spot burning. So the method is time consuming and some plants are toxic to humans. So protective clothing will be needed. So the disposal of this plant material is also important because the spreading of the seeds and making new infestations is possible. So mechanical eradication sometimes is not practical in plants that are deep-rooted, like Fifbla, the poison leaf that we've already discussed. Then the chemical method involves things like using herbicides. So this method is time-effective and it's also time-efficient and effective, but can be expensive. So herbicides may be applied by spot spraying, drizzling, depending on the size or the age of the plant population. So you need to consider the lifestyle cycle of the plant. Is it an annual or perennial plant? As it affects the timing of treatment and product used. Very important, when using herbicides, be sure to always read and follow all label instructions. And the herbicide that you use must be registered for the weed that you are trying to control. Then the other one will be biological control. Biological control involves using living organisms such as insects, mites, bacteria, and fungi to reduce the reproduction of the target plants. This method can be particularly useful for managing large, hard-to-reach or otherwise impractical-to-reach plant populations. So inspection of bales is also important because some plants are hay contaminants like talc, and talc is toxic even when it's dry. So it's important for the farmers to always inspect the bales. Then lastly, farmers must know how to identify poisonous plants that grow in their areas and be knowledgeable about their harmful effects.
Are there specific grazing management techniques that can minimize the risk of exposure to toxic plants?
I'll put it this way, helpful grazing management techniques, because I won't say they are specific to managing the exposure to toxic plants. So I've got rotational grazing can prevent overgrazing of the felt, allowing fewer plants to survive and less exposure to high infested camps during the growing season of the plant. So the pastures can also rest when you practice rotational grazing. Then the other one will be fencing off the infested areas or camps so it can be avoided, so the animals do not have access to the infested felt. The next one is not that practical. So overstocking, having a large number of animals in one camp to increase grazing pressure and reduce the population of the plant. This method can be highly risky for highly toxic plants, but it can be useful to control those that are less toxic. So when you practice this one, make sure that you also provide the animals with good quality feed so they don't depend on that toxic plant that is there. Then also, you can reduce the size of the camps. So this will help with eliminating the area selection, like watering points where the animals like to graze heavily around those areas and then leave the other areas of the camp. Then you can also do shortened grazing period. Some plants are not harmful for certain growth stages. So if you shorten your grazing periods, then there will be less exposure to the harmful plants. Then I can also place less susceptible animals to infested camps. So, for example, some plants can be more toxic to cattle, but less toxic to sheep and goats.
How effective are physical barriers such as fencing in preventing livestock from accessing areas with toxic plants?
So physical barriers are highly effective because there is a restricted access to specific areas that might pose risk to livestock. So physical barriers sometimes are not practical in areas due to limited grazing space, but they are effective.
What immediate actions should farmers take if they suspect their livestock have ingested toxic plants?
Number one, farmers, if you are owning any animal, livestock, dogs and pets, you must always give a contact number for people like animal health technicians and veterinarians. So the first step is to call a vet or animal health technician. So farmers need to contact these people immediately when they suspect intoxication. So it is important also for the farmer to give the vet a good history, things like species, signs observed, plant identification if it's possible, then estimation of the amount of the plant that is ingested. Then secondly, the farmers must remove these animals, affected animals, from the infested felt or the kit immediately. Then they need to monitor clinical signs by observing any changes like a progression of the clinical signs while waiting for assistance. Then provide supportive care as directed by the vet. For example, administering of the activated charcoal, provision of water and feed, proper bedding if the animal is paralyzed or recumbent. Then provide shade, and also we have to make sure they avoid stressing these animals. If the animal dies, it's important that the farmers take pictures of all the different organs in the carcass so they can be able to show to the vets if when the vet is available, then they can make a diagnosis on how it might be the possible cause of death. Thank you. And also it's important to collect the plant sample if it's available.
Are there specific treatments or antidotes available for the most common plant toxins affecting livestock?
So for most common plant toxins, there is usually limited available antidotes or no specific treatment. Instead, supportive or symptomatic treatment is used. For example, we've got an antidote for cyanogenic poisoning, which is sodium thiosulfate or dicobalt erythrate. The most commonly advised immediate treatment for farmers is activated charcoal, which acts as an absorbent by binding ingested toxins within the gastrointestinal tract and preventing their systemic absorption. But activated charcoal needs to be administered with care, as it can be aspirated and lead to respiratory compromise or even death. Then activated charcoal is important. The timing is important there because you need to give it at least within 4 hours of ingestion. But there are antidotes that are available out there. Farmers must contact their veterinarian so they can be advised properly.
And finally, are there any regulations or policies in place that addresses the management of toxic plants in grazing areas?
There are available guidelines from the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development on control of unwanted plants. And they also have the list of herbicides registered for weed control. Then these pesticides are regulated in terms of fertilizers, farm feeds, agriculture remedies, and stock remedies, Act 36 of 1947. Then the other act that is provide the measures by which agricultural pests may be prevented and controlled is Agricultural Pests Act 36 of 1983. Then lastly, the National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act 10 of 2004 also provides the list of invasive species in which certain restricted activities are prohibited. So the list has a number of declared poisonous plants like inkberry, which is known as Sesam laeviticum. Then you've got syringa, which is Melia azadarag, Mexican poppy, Agemon mexicana. So those are toxic plants. They are also in the list on that act. In terms of herbicides, there are herbicides that are registered, for example, plants like fluffbla, which is also declared as the noxious plant or weed. So pesticides like pipchlorem, so that is used in summer. And also tebutheuro, used before or during the rainy season.
Thanks so much, Dr. Siva Lenungo, Clinical Assistant Toxicologist at the University of Pretoria's Faculty of Veterinary Science. For more on the topic, visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that's it up. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. From me, Octavius Bundil, our technical producer Megan van der Veen, and the rest of the hashtag team FoodformZanzi. Thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love FoodformZanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.